MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, I read that a long-standing tax exemption for transfers between spouses could soon be restricted, but only where the spouse receiving the assets is no longer a South African tax resident. Now, let me try and explain. National Treasury says some couples are exploiting the exemption by transferring substantial wealth to a non-resident spouse before the second partner emigrates. That would sharply reduce the capital gains exit tax. So let's explain to you who's exposed and whether maybe Treasury has gone a little too far in this respect. I'm going to talk to tax attorney at the Leap Group, Reinert van Rensburg. A very warm welcome to you. So in your analysis, is Treasury closing a genuine tax avoidance loophole, or some are suggesting maybe penalizing people simply because their spouse lives abroad?
Yes, Jeremy. So firstly, thanks for having me. So Treasury did make it clear that they want to introduce this change specifically for wealthy taxpayers who are exploiting a loophole whereby a resident spouse is donating assets to a non-resident spouse simply to avoid the exit tax. But in reality, within the Income Tax Act, there's already a rule applied to those type of donations. So when a resident spouse donates assets to a non-resident spouse, it already triggers a capital gains tax at that point because the rollover relief does not apply to that transaction, whereby a resident spouse donates to a resident spouse, the recipient spouse moves into the shoes of the donating spouse with the same base cost, same market value of the same asset. But that changes when a resident spouse donates to a non-resident spouse. There's no rollover relief available. So the resident spouse is deemed of disposing those assets into the open market. So that triggers a capital gains tax in itself.
So what kind of tax then could a resident spouse face when transferring assets to that non-resident partner?
So firstly, it will trigger that CGT, as we mentioned, but with the new law amendment, they want to apply donations tax to that same transaction as well. So it will essentially result in a compounding tax being levied. A lot of people are referring to it as a double tax, but at the end of the day, it's two different types of taxes being levied. So it's just a compounding tax resulting in a higher tax burden. And I did give it quite thought why Treasury want to introduce this change. And what makes the most legal sense to me is maybe regarding the estate duty base in South Africa, because as soon as assets leave the South African tax net into the hands of a non-resident, and that non-resident passes away, the estate duty is not levied on most of those assets. So it might have something to do with estate duty itself, because that's the main purpose of the nation's tax, is to avoid a situation where an individual transfers their wealth just before they pass away, just to avoid estate duty. And that's why donations tax are there, to be applied before you pass away and to avoid estate duty itself.
How common is this practice of transfer then? I'm assuming the Treasury wouldn't be moving on this unless there was a trend here.
Yeah, so we have seen it on numerous occasions in practice. But in my case, I advise my clients to simply remain subject to the Section 9H deemed disposal, because Section 9HB also triggers the exact same taxes on that transaction if you donate to a non-resident spouse. So whether you donate the assets to a non-resident spouse or keep it in your own name when seizing tax residency, both those type of transactions will result in the same deemed disposal being triggered essentially if we take a look at the correct wording within the Income Tax Act.
Are there legitimate transfers that could be caught in this net? I'm thinking of things like family support or maybe even the movement of assets that have been jointly accumulated.
Yes, there can be. So the tax law change is focusing and targeting wealthy taxpayers avoiding a loophole. But at the end of the day, it will also apply to ordinary South Africans having to transfer assets to family, spouses abroad while they're non-resident for a specific purpose. So it can have a negative impact on those ordinary South Africans, even though they are targeting wealthy taxpayers who are trying to close off a loophole.
Does SARS not, though, already have sufficient anti-avoidance powers to challenge an artificial arrangement without changing the exemption for everyone?
Yes, absolutely. So, as mentioned, the Section 9HB is one of those anti-avoidance rules that can be applied to make sure that the extra tax is not avoided. And that specific section, I believe, was already introduced in 2019. So when a resident spouse donates the assets to a non-resident spouse, the exit tax is triggered in any case. And that's the type of anti-avoidance rule already being applied. So it's very interesting to see them trying to introduce a donations tax change on the same transaction, which actually covers a different type of purpose relating to estate duty.
Is there the risk that a couple could face tax in the country where the non-resident spouse lives? And if I'm following my own thread here, that surely could create a double tax problem.
So not really a double tax problem, because if we take a look at donations tax specifically, it's always levied to the donor. So it's subject to the donor's residency status, where the donor is considered ordinary resident, and the funds being received on the other side in the non-resident's country, but it's all subject to the country where the person is residing as well. But in a general sense transaction, there won't be any necessarily any tax consequences on the non-resident side simply receiving a donation from an individual in another country.
If I understand this correctly, the draft was published months after the proposed effective date. Correct me if I'm wrong. If that's the case, though, is it legally and ethically acceptable to impose a tax retrospectively?
Yes, so they did introduce the possible amendment or comment on it in the budget speech in February already. So now this draft bill was introduced months later, actually providing the exact wording that will be enacted. And they want to apply it retrospectively from February already. So any transactions happen in the meantime, that donations tax will apply to those transactions as well. So it's difficult to comment on fairness itself, because on the one side, Treasury needs to protect the South African tax base, but they also need to ensure certainty to taxpayers as well. So there's certainly a raise of concern when it comes to fairness and legal certainty, but then again, Treasury needs to make sure that they prevent a situation where taxpayers run to ensure they take certain transactions just before legislation is enacted. And that's why these type of policy changes are introduced quite suddenly.
And just a final one, should affected couples then, give us some advice here, should they pause transfers immediately or do they need to get some kind of professional advice before acting in any way?
Based on the current wording of the proposed amendment, I would say resident spouses need to avoid donating assets to non-resident spouses, because you don't want to be subject to that unnecessary donations tax if this is passed into or enacted into legislation. So I would definitely say avoiding that transfer itself, because as mentioned, that transfer does trigger its own capital gains tax. So there's no real difference between donating your assets to a non-resident spouse to avoid exit tax in comparison to keeping it in your name and just go through with the exit tax itself. It has the same effect from a tax perspective, essentially.
From the advisory group, the LEAP Group, Reinert van Rensburg, tax attorney, thank you very much indeed for the explanation. I appreciate your time.